Well, hello again, listeners. This is Jamie L's Pod Space. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday night. I thank you guys for supporting my podcast and just for staying with me this long. Okay, guys, today we're going to come again with another episode. It's been a really busy month, but it's always a pleasure and my passion to be able to come on here and to share the word of God and how much he loves us. Okay, guys, so let's just have a word of prayer. Invite the Lord into this prayer and help me to, you know, explain it in a way that will be easy for you guys to understand. I hope you guys have had a great summer. It is officially fall. We're right in between the seasons now where people are, you know, the weather has changed and it's the flu season. And I just pray that all of you guys are well and that, you know, God just blesses you in the way that he never has this week. So let's just go ahead on and have a prayer and include that in there then. Okay. Dear gracious loving Father, I invite you into our presence right now, and I just want to give you praise, honor, and glory for your faithfulness, for your love, for your grace and your mercy that you pour out every single day, and the gift of life, Father God. We just want to ask for blessings on the listeners that are tuned in this evening, Father God. And we pray, Lord, that the ones that are out there, Lord, they may not have the time or may not know about you, Lord, that you would draw them to hear this message, Lord. And if not me, Father God, maybe just a person that they meet on the street or a saint that they may meet at their job. We just ask, Father God, that you would just align that up. If it's in your will, I pray this, Father God. I just also just want to praise you, Lord, and thank you, Father God, for the wonderful gifts that you pour out on us each day, the ways that you protect us, Father, that we're not even aware of, Lord. We just thank you for our families. We thank you, Father, for creating us in your image and in your likeness, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for the ability to reason and to understand certain different principles, Lord. And I just ask, Father, for your favor as I explain and talk about a message of your word right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, we invite you. I invite you to come and to speak through me, because it's really not about me, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. We just want to give you praise, honor, and glory once again this day. In Jesus' name, with the forgiveness of all of my sins, I pray. Amen. Alrighty. So, today we are going to be studying, not literally studying, but well, we are going to be studying, but I know I made it. Yeah, let's just go ahead. Okay, so it's going to be called The Company We Keep. This is a very great, a very popular, you know, topic. Reason why I was inspired to talk about this is because right now in my life, you know, I'm trying to like discern and, you know, be wise about the kind of company that I keep in my life. And I think just even if you don't have like relationship with God, the people that you come to meet, you know, you're in that stage where you're trying to, you know, see what kind of person they are, that's the type of person you want in your life. So the first thing that I think of is, first of all, I just wanted to say, I just researched this, first let's go to the verse here. The first verse that I think about that comes that talks about the company we keep is 1 Corinthians 15:33. Let's actually go there. 1 Corinthians 15:33. I hope you guys can hear me. I mean, hopefully it's clear. Okay, wait a minute, let me just, alrighty, it says, wait, no, I'm in couple scriptures, chapters over. There we go. I miss you guys so much. Like, I'm not I genuinely miss coming on here. I want to try to be a little bit more frequent, but like, just the act of just doing this, it just brings me so much joy and happiness. I love talking about God and just about just sharing with you guys just how good He is. So let's just, if you guys can get a prayer through, I mean, God hears all of our conversation. He said the prayers of the prayers are powerful and effective, especially of the righteous people. But you pray that I could be more consistent, that would mean so much to me. Okay, chapter 15, verse 33. Okay. He says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay, this is the New King James. I mean, this is the... this is not the New King James. This is just the regular King James. But in the NIV version, it says, be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good character or good morals. Okay, so when I was just saying, I researched when I was, you know, trying to, you know, get this message together. Paul, the first time that it's mentioned is and it's in Corinthians in this chapter. But actually, Paul quoted this saying from a guy, from a famous comic poet in the 4th and 3rd century named Menander. It's a famous play. And he's a Greek philosopher also. And I researched it and I'm just like, wow. You know, I mean, that just, you know, it tells you also that the Bible is really alive, and all the events add up to exactly what's, you know, the history of people. But it also piqued my curiosity because the Lord told us to be against philosophers. So this may have Paul may have you know, studied Menander's his work, or maybe he at one time may have been a you know, active in philosophy before he actually became saved. But either way, regardless of whatever that person's background, what they're saying is truth, you know. And if it's in the Word, and the Word of God is God breathed, then God says in one scripture, He says that the person, if they're not against us, if they're preaching about us and they're not against us, then that means they are for us. Okay, because God is always about truth. He's always about, you know, being authentic and just speaking the truth in love and putting it out there. So I just wanted to add that. So that's the first scripture that I could really think about that really talks about specifically bad company. Now, company can, if you read it in this context, it's talking about people, like evil people that are into drunkenness, that are rebellious, that just are unbelievers, that don't love the Lord. You know, God says that, you know, it's either you're following God or either you're following the enemy. It's either you're in the light or you're in the darkness. And but even though that's what it's saying, I think that company can mean anything that takes your attention away from God. I think it can mean, you know, music, movies that you listen to. It can be habits that you have, maybe really bad habits. Anything that takes your attention away from God, and that you set your heart on, that it can be company that we keep. And that's the kind of company that is, you know, evil, and that it will make us stray in our walk with God, you know. So yeah, I mean, and it can ultimately become idols, you know. And God always says that, you know, He says that He's an enemy of our flesh. Our flesh and God, it is enmity with each other, because our flesh does not submit to God, you know. So let's just go to Proverbs 12:26. This is the wisdom book. It's right after, it's right before, right after, right before Psalms. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. It says, the righteous, oh, wait a minute, Proverbs, oh, here we are. It says, choose friends carefully. The wicked desired the net of evil men, but the root of righteousness yielded fruit. But in translation, it's basically saying, God is telling us to choose wisely the kind of friends that we have in our life. You know, if they're not sowing to righteousness, if they're not sowing to further the kingdom of God, that means that they're working for the enemy, which is Satan. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to Amos 3:3. It talks furthermore about it. It says, do two walk together unless they have agreed? So this is basically saying, you know, kind of like that old saying, like birds of a feather flock together. The kind of friends you keep, it, you know, basically is an example of what type of person that you are, you know? So, and then as I was saying, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 6:14. So we're going to go back to Corinthians. Right now I'm just talking about what God, how God views friends, the kind of friends that, this is explaining what a friend is and, you know, the different kinds of friends. Just bear with me, guys. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what accord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel? This is verse 16. In what agreement hath the temple of the living God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Okay, so this is basically God is, like I was saying earlier, is using an example between believers and unbelievers, light with darkness. God says in another scripture, when he was talking about the Laodicean church, you know, saying that they were lukewarm. He said, either choose a side, either choose, you know, light or darkness, or choose hot or either cold. But if he says that since you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So the Lord is saying that he's disgusted because they can't choose a side, you know, and God wants our hearts. God wants us to himself. He created us. We're his creation, his greatest creation. And he wants us. Only thing he wants us is to know him, to love him, and to be obedient for him so he can, we can be in peace and not have to worry about where life will end when life ends, where we'll go. We'll not have to worry about the suffering. We will have to suffer as a believer, but we won't have to suffer for sin, you know? And the enemy wants to destroy that and take that away from us. He wants us to not know who God is. He wants us to not depend on God and to just use our own strength and then just constantly just have to be unfulfilled and just sick, you know? God is in the healing business. He wants to clean us out. He wants to restore our hearts. And in another scripture in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all else. who can understand it? So our desires of our hearts, that is what makes us, that is what separates us from God. Because God always says, I look at your heart, I don't look at your outward appearance. So our heart state is really what determines the kind of person we are. And a lot of people say, I just speak from my heart. I just speak from my heart. Absolutely. We absolutely speak from our heart, you know, and so it will be. But God wants us to be transformed. He wants our minds to be transformed into what his words are saying, you know, so that we won't go by our hearts, but we will go by what his word is saying. So his word can wash us clean and make us holy. Like he said, be holy for I am holy. The type of people that we're around, you know, whatever he said, that whatever a person speaks, that's what's in his heart, you know. So if you're around someone that is not a believer and you're a believer, then it's not going to take too long for that person to start acting and thinking and just like them, you know. That's why God tells us to protect ourselves. He says to be not deceived. One of the things that I was surprised by when I researched this, when I was studying the word, was about unbelievers, like evangelizing unbelievers or being friends with unbelievers. I have a friend that isn't saved, and you know, I said, you know, I'm trying to witness to her, and I like spending time with her. I like her as a person. But when I was studying the word, it says that do not be deceived. So that means that, especially since we're a fallen human race, you know, our first nature, our first instinct is to go to evil, is to delight in things that will make us feel good. So it doesn't, we're weak without God. If we do the things, God gives us the power of free will, you know, nothing happens. He directs our steps, but he gives us the power of choice to choose our path in life, you know. And we may think, oh, I got this in the bud, you know, I'm good, and I don't, you know, Lord, I'm firm in you, and I know that I'll be okay, and this, but the power of evil and sin is very, very strong. And we can't fight that battle without God. That's why God tells us it's a spiritual warfare going on. And it's spiritual. It's not with flesh and blood. So as long as we stay close to Jesus, we will win every single battle regardless, you know, because he fights for us, you know. So where I was just going at is, another scripture I think of is right off the top of my head is a friend that loves at all times. Okay, that is what a true friend, that is what a friend really is. And then you think about the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, where about love is patient, does not boast, it doesn't keep track of any wrongdoings. The example in the word that I can really think about, so far as like a friendship, a good friendship or good company, was the relationship between David and Jonathan. King Saul's son, Jonathan and David became fast friends. That's in 1 Samuel 18. They exemplified what real friendship really is. But I'm not specifically talking about bad company. I'm just saying in general, what kind of company do you keep? Like, what kind of company that takes up most of your time, that takes up place in your thoughts, that turns your attention away from the Lord, and that you just, you know, you just spend most of your time serving that, you know? And I ask myself that all the time, because it's, you know, as a Christian, you know, you still fall short of the glory of God. We all do, each and every single day. And I can't think of the one scripture, but it says that if a person thinks that he is saved, then he should really truly be alert and watch himself, because he is able to stumble. You know, so we all stumble at that stumbling block. That's why we really have to stay close to Jesus. And we know that the enemy, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he shall devour. And his desire is to, you know, destroy us, you know. So where I was just saying, okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians. We were just in chapter 15. Okay, let's go to 58. Verse 15, chapter 58. Chapter 15, verse 58. Sorry. Okay. Okay, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we'll be rewarded as long as we stay alert, we stay steadfast in God. And to stay sober just means to, you know, to think logic, to really think about the words of the Lord, think about what God desires. And alert obviously means just being watchful, like, you know, making sure that we don't fall into sin and that we don't allow that sin to come in, you know. And that requires praying, that requires, you know, reading our word, that requires, you know, being around the family of God, because the enemy, he'll just continue to try to take that sword and continue to stick us in different areas of our life that he thinks that he knows that we are weak in. But we also know that our weaknesses, they're not a bad thing, because God's power works through us to help us to overcome those things, you know. But if we're not in remaining in him, then we can't overcome those things. Okay, so now we are going to go to just a second. So yeah, like I was just saying, you know, with my friend, we can, like I said, you can still fall short by just being around that kind of company, because like I said, our first instinct is to really, you know, only think of ourselves and to give in to sin, because we're in a fallen world right now. But I was like, okay, well, you know, I want to talk to her about God, but I researched and it said, you know, be not deceived. And I didn't pay attention to that as much. I always paid attention to, you know, bad company corrupts good morals, da, da, da. But he said, be not deceived. That is being deceived. Because you think that, because I think that, you know, if you're friends with somebody, an unbeliever, and me thinking that I could win that person over, win her over with the word of God, if her heart isn't open to it, you know, that is taking the place of God. Yes, I can be friends with her. Yes, I can evangelize her by just the life that I live in the Lord, but God is the one that moves our heart. Even Pharaoh of Egypt, the king of Egypt, he was going to release the Egyptians, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, he hardened his heart to make it, you know, for him to resist releasing the Israelites. You know, so God ultimately has the last say. He can soften your heart. He can change it. He can move it. He can harden it. He can do what he wills, you know, because he knows all things. He knows exactly what we need, when we need it. He knows the paths and the plans that he has for our life in order to bring us near him, you know. So I didn't know that, you know, But I know that now that was something that I learned, but I can continue to pray for her. I can continue to have a holy type of friendship where I could just, you know, pray for her and everything like that. Because, like, we can't even we can't change ourselves. We can't change people. You know, and it's like I said, it's a real spiritual warfare that's going on. And only with having our spiritual armor on, and which is the very Jesus, basically putting on Jesus, would be able to help us to fight against his darts and his daggers that he throws at us. Okay. Okay, just a second. Okay, we are going to go to we're going to touch on Jonathan and David in 1 Samuel, the story in there. Yeah, so, you know, the company we keep can either make or break our relationship with the Lord. the things that we do, the things that we say, those are the kind of things that really show what we really truly serve, what we really truly believe in. and that's why, you know, God says that, you know, we shall know them by their fruits. You know, the things that people do, they speak way louder than the things that people say, you know, and As human beings, you know, we were created to be social, to have meaning with family and friends and acquaintances. And friendship in itself is very important in life, you know, to move forward, to be mentally healthy, and to live a content life. but at the same time, those that they call themselves our friends, they can also cause us hardship, grief, sadness. They can lie to us, betray us, disappoint us. But what exactly is a friend? You know, what exactly does God say about friends? Well, okay, so we're going to go to scripture. Jesus is our friend. Jesus says that he is our friend that sticks closer to a brother. That is I think it's Proverbs. Just a second, I only got the scriptures mixed up. Okay, looks like I forgot that scripture, but Jesus tells us that he's our friend because he laid down his life for us, you know? And that is John 15:13. I think that's separate. Let's go to John 15, chapter 15, verse 13. It says, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Verse 15, therefore I no longer call you servants, for servants do not know what his master does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bear forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you do, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So that's confirmation there, that once we pray and we put Jesus' name on that, and we pray and we ask earnestly for the Lord, he said he'll give it to us. Praise the Lord. So when I say, you know, pray for me, you know, the Lord, he honors, and it says it right here. He hears it and he'll grant those requests to us. Okay, but we're not really talking about that. Okay, so we see here, Jesus is saying that he no longer calls us servants, but that we are his friends. He even says that he's a friend of sinners. You know, Jesus came and he was the embodiment of what it means to really serve and earnestly, gently love on sinners and people that rejected him. He never yelled any insults. He never backtalked. He never tried to justify himself. He just always spoke the truth in love and was always willing to serve. And that's the greatest thing that I love about when I read the Gospels, is that every single time that a person was sick or was in need, Jesus always said, "What do you want me to do for you?" That was always his first response, because he came for such as that. He came to save the world. He didn't come to condemn it. So, you know, he was a friend. But let me read on. I want to get to that scripture because I like to put the scriptures in here for you guys so you can go back to it. But, you know, I constantly try to work on structuring them as much as I can. And I don't get everything down like I should. So, but I will put it in the next episode like I always do. Okay. Yeah. So friendship. Let's actually go to. Okay. So if we go back to 1 Corinthians 15:33, a verse up. It actually what they were really taught, what Paul was really talking about in Corinthians, was when he says bad company, was talking about the false teachers, how they came into the church of Corinth, and they were teaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of that which wasn't true. And they considered only their physical existence and denied life after death of the resurrection, which is false. So, you know, Paul is just exhorting the Corinthian people, just telling them to know the truth for themselves, you know, because it's so easy especially for new believers or younger people, to be swayed away from false doctrine. And he's saying that, you know, the type of people that you hang around, the things that you listen to, you'll be influenced by those things, you know. The truth is that false teachers do not lead to holiness. It is critical that we are careful whom we form relationships with, especially those outside the church, because unbelievers can cause even the strongest Christians to waver, to waver in their faith and affect their walk with Christ and their witness to the world. That's why Paul says, do not be misled. And that's another translator saying, do not be deceived. And Paul talked about this a couple of times. He talked about this also in 1 Corinthians 6:9. He cautioned them not to take up the lifestyle of corrupt people, those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. The point here is to say that it's for all people, not just people in the Bible, but the people that us, you know, the Christians, the people that are saints that are striving to be near the Lord, you know. Let's go to Matthew. No, actually, let's go here before we go there. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:24-26. Because that was like, okay, well, what do I do then, Lord? And I looked this up with unbelievers. I looked this up and it was a huge eye-opener for me. And that's the thing about the word. Like, it's so much good things in here. It's so many things that you've seen and you feel like, oh, I read it already. Then you go back to it and it's just like, wait a minute, I missed that. I miss seeing that. And it just gives you a different perspective. especially, you know, what you're going through or whatever you, God purposely, you know, just blinds our eyes from the things that he wants us to see, you know, now, because he always says there's a time and a season for everything, you know, so it's always something that we're digesting. And as long as we're growing, praise be to God. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2, the second epistle 2, verse 24 through 26. Let's start reading there if you have your Bibles. It says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So God is saying, you know, make peace with people that are in the family of God, and also the people that aren't in the family of God, you know, and pursue righteousness. And even in another scripture, he says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone, you know, because God is peace. You know, so and let's go down. Okay, verse 23, it says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, to teach patient and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves," that means unbelievers, "if God will give them repentance, so that God can give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may," this is verse 26, "and that they may recover themselves out of the trap of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." When I read that, I was just like, okay, well, I really, really have to flee and really be intentional, you know, about the people that I'm with and about the kind of things that I take part in. Now, it also says in another scripture that to endure evil. And I was just like, what does that mean, endure evil? I mean, I think God is saying that, like, in reference to, like, if we have no choice to be around evil, that we can endure it, not to judge them or, you know, be like the Pharisees, you did this, you did that, but to endure it. But that doesn't mean that we have to take part in it, only in those situations. But that doesn't mean that we should take part in it, that we should, you know, seek out those people, seek their knowledge, seek their truth, or which is not truth at all. But, you know, just be around evil. You know, we don't have to. We have a choice in the things that we choose. And that's another thing, you know, if you befriending an unbeliever, sometimes, you know, they'll get you to try to water down your word and your faith, you know. But the Lord tells us that we're supposed to speak the truth gently to them, you know, not forcefully, but gently. And that's what Jesus did. You know, that's what Jesus did to the Pharisees. That's what he did to the chief priests. He always spoke the truth, never bended it, but spoke to them gently. And the things that we say, they always say it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. But so if you're saying it in a gentle tone and a very calm, people are more likely they listen to you, not be offended, even if you are right and they're wrong, or even if you are telling them something, you know, because it's the pride of life, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. But our pride wants to just know things ourselves. Our pride wants to not be taught. And the Lord says that if we don't want to be, if you don't like to take heed to wisdom, then that's a foolish person. But since we're in this fallen world, you know, that we're in foolishness. We are foolish, you know, apart from the knowledge of God. But that's why Jesus, being the true friend, the ultimate friend, he laid down his life. He said, there's no greater love than them that can lay down this life for his friends. He exemplified what true friendship was when he went to the cross. He took captivity captive, which was sin, so that we can have a wholesome, righteous, sinless, everlasting life with God. And really, God can really shed light on his truth. He can give us wisdom. He can give us peace, grace, truth, love, you know, so that we won't be foolish, you know. And that's his ultimate goal for every single person's life. He wants to be our only friend, brothers and sisters. He wants to be the only one that we go to, we run to when we're having a situation. Yes, it's nice to have those friends. Yes, because, you know, it helps us to grow. It helps us, you know, to be socialized into society and all of those things. But sometimes those that can even become an idol, you know, a great idol. Above all else, not just talking about ungodly people being an ungodly person being the company we keep, which is bad company, but even the good type of people, our Christian friends, can be an idol in our life, and that can be a hindrance to our growth and our faith in God. God's desire is for us to come to Him above all else, and we can't do that. We can't depend on people and what people say, what people do, this because they are fallen, broken people just like we are. You know, that's why he said a friend loves at all times. But, you know, our friend also, it says also in another scripture that do not put your trust in the friend, the one that lies in your bosom. He said there is not one trustworthy person that we can find. No, not one. Apart from Jesus Christ. And sometimes, like I said, you know, we get so comfortable emotionally with our friends, and we get so comfortable with sharing different things, and we forget that they can betray us. That's why I don't really have that believe that, you know, and trust too much, you know, apart from the Lord when it comes to people. And I'm very, very open person. And I know I have to use discernment and I have to get a little bit better, but I feel like pain is pain. You know, as Christians, we are going to face persecution. We're going to face trials. We're going to face heartbreak, all kinds of things. I just feel like if we're open and we share and we're transparent with people about our experiences and being open with ourselves, and if they hurt us, so be it. Okay, that's no different between your family, which is your blood family that you've known for tens and decades or whatever, and they hurt you. They can hurt you the same way because we're a fallen human race, you know? But Jesus tells us that He will never fail us. He said that you'll never have to worry because He'll never leave us or forsake us, that He is faithful when we are faithless, you know? And He only does those things that make us suffer to try to teach us discipline, you know. But it's all part of the human experience. Pain is all part of the human experience. Ups and downs, trials, and pain inevitably is because we are, like I said, the enemy is, a lot of people are under the sway of the enemy, like it says in this last verse. You know, so staying close to the Lord and putting all of our trust in God is the best way to go, because God will never betray us. He'll never use the things that we say against us. He's always pure and full of justice and mercy and truth, you know, and just good in every single way. Okay, let's go back, like I was just ready to say, Matthew 5:16. But that really showed me a lot, like how I should go about this person, because he tells us, you know, people that are you know, quick-tempered, that are rebellious, malicious, boastful, a whole list goes on and on and on. Like, those aren't the type of people that we shouldn't be around, you know, because we're, like I said, we're trying to build up the kingdom of God, and they're building up the kingdom of Satan. You know, it's sad to say that, but it's the truth. But, you know, okay, let's go to Matthew 5:16. Okay, chapter 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law. For truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in not wise pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So Jesus is saying that he came down to do the will of the Father. He says that there's nothing that God is telling him to do that he won't do. Like, he'll fulfill each and everything that God wants him to do, because he loves us, and he wants us to really exemplify who he is, to show who he is. And that requires taking up our cross every single day to follow Jesus. And that's not an easy task. We can't do that by ourselves apart from Jesus, but only with Jesus and an intentional effort to spend time with God and to dwell with the Lord and to transform our mind. I always go back to the scripture in Romans 12:2, where it says that to transform your mind, be not conformed to the world, but transform your mind with the renewing of the word. That's something that I have to remember to do, to think about all the time. But apart from the Lord God, we can do nothing. We can't live without the Lord. It's just like a fruit that, you know, it's just, that doesn't have any water. What happens? It starts to turn, you know, brown, and it starts to get nice and withered and everything. That's because it's not the tree, the vine, the main support isn't being watered to nourish that vine. And then ultimately what happens? It falls off. And Jesus is the same way. Once we continue to remain in him and continue to drink of his water and, to remain in his light, he'll nourish us in so many different ways. We don't have to seek out, you know, those type of friends that aren't for us. We don't have to seek out things and all these other things that take the place of the Lord, because he wants to be that for us in every single way. And I'm learning that now. It's certain things that I do that I'm just like, dang, like, this is literally taking the place of the Lord. Like, I have literally been doing to take the place of the Lord. But thank God for his rich mercy and grace that he pours out on us each and every day. Even when we do sin, he still is faithful to us. He still loves us. He still, you know, doesn't judge us and doesn't try to, you know, shun us or turn his face away from us. He just wants to help us to grow and to be more and more aware of the kind of sins that we're in, or that we're doing. And that's just how he is. That's who he is. He's a loving father that way. Verse 9 of 5, it says that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, as long as we remain in the Lord, and he'll give us the peace so that we can share that peace with other people. Going up in verse, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Only way that we can be pure and we can be holy is that is if we remain in the Lord. Okay, I feel like I'm drifting a little bit. So yeah, going back to Jonathan and David's friendship. Like I said, we know that Jesus is our only true friend. Praise the Lord. First Samuel, I was going to use an example of like a bad company, you know, with Jonadab and Amnon, and how he deceived him into raping Tamar. So that was an example of a good friend, of a friend that, you know, he liked, but he persuaded him to do that. So even Christians, like I said, you know, fall short, and they can persuade you to do things that are evil, you know. You know, but I'm not getting into that. Let's go to 1 Samuel. But it's true, you know, and if we You know, depend on that. That can happen. We can depend on those type of people, and sometimes we could be so loyal and so faithful to a fault to our friends that we just like, oh, I'm just gonna bend the truth. Maybe if I just say this, or maybe if I do that, it won't be too bad. We're supposed to remain in the word. We're supposed to continue to be sober and alert, and to not try to water down the word or anything like that, because the truth always stands firm. It never changes. God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God for that. Yeah, so that's in 1 Samuel 18. If you read 1 Samuel 18 through 18 through 1 through 4. Through 19. It talks about just how loving their friendship was, you know. They grew closer out of adversity, you know, and it didn't do anything but strengthen their friendship, you know. And that just, you know, reminds me, like, how many friends do you have, you know, you've gone through things and then they actually stick by your side. I mean, is the friends that you have near you, are they by you because something that you have, or is it something that they know that they can benefit out of a friendship? Or are they the ones that, you know, you go through something, some trials bad, and they're still hanging by your side? Those are the true friends, and that is a split example of who Jesus is. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he died for us in our sins, and you know, God can't deal with sin. He can't deal with that, but his love for us was so great that he died for us in that exemplifies and demonstrates his great love for us. And as a friend that is supposed to, you know, you have lots of things in common with, you know, are they there? Do they respect the things that you respect? Are they there with you and between adversity? Are you giving them something to keep them around? Examine that, because you deserve better for one, but more importantly, God wants you to have better. God wants us to have good friendships. He wants us to have good gifts. He wants us to have a good life, you know, but he doesn't want all of those things to take the place of him. You know, he doesn't want those people in our lives to hurt us. And he always gives us a sign, you know, he always gives us a sign when those type of people are coming into our life. And sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we don't really listen to them, or you know, we just are foolish. We don't know. But they were very, very, Jonathan and David were very, very close. Even after Jonathan passed, David was he David David took care of his brother and his wives and all his maid servants, just because they were that close. Like, he wanted his family, anybody that was associated with Jonathan, to still be close to him, because they had that deep bond in that way. And I know I desire to have a friend like that. You know, and God can send us those things as long as we remain in Him, and He'll continue to remain in us. Okay, one more thing I wanted to touch on. Yeah, so we should serve. We should always, just like Jesus did, we should always serve unbelievers first, you know, in humility and love and grace. Proverbs 17:17 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to a brother. Okay, there's that verse right there, guys. Proverbs 17:17. That's where it says Jesus sticks closer with a brother. So he's saying basically even the people that you might know, a whole bunch of people, you might have a lot of friends, but you still feel very lonely. You still feel like you're not being fulfilled. Okay. It says in Proverbs 27:6 that wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. That goes to say, you know, the purity of people, the purity and the truth that your friend can give you can save you because they actually care about you versus the people that are just telling you what you want to hear. They ain't your real friends, you know? yeah, so I'm just going to end it there, guys. Yeah, like I said, you know, Jesus, he's the ultimate person that exemplified true friendship. The only person, not just an example, but the only person that showed us love. You know, because remember, he came down here for us. He came down here to save that which was sick and that was lost, so that they can have a true eternal life with him. So I just really encourage you guys to really examine the type of company that you keep. Is it sowing into the better good to move you, help you move forward in life? Or is it hindering you? Is it hindering your success? Is it hindering your growth? Is it damaging your emotional and spiritual growth? God wants the best for you in any and every area of your life. And as soon as you pray to him and you give him those areas, he will fruitfully, abundantly give you all that you desire in your heart, but you must seek him first. He shows just how much he loves us. In 1 John 4:16, it says that God is love. You know, God loves us and he wants us to have his love. And in order to have the love of God, we have to spend time with him. And when we spend time with him, he'll show us how to love other people. So I just want to just thank you guys so much for tuning in again. I pray I'll be able to come on here probably next Sunday. If not, it'll be the following Sunday. But I hope you guys stay safe and have a wonderful week. Just have a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you sent your son, your only begotten son, down here to be the propitiation for our sins, Father God. He was obedient to you even to the point of death. He didn't count the cross. He just thought about what you desired, Lord. And I remember reading in John about how Jesus, not in John, but in the books that I can't remember, but I remember reading Jesus fervently, I think it was at Gethsemane, he fervently prayed for all of the believers, not just the disciples, but he prayed for the believers out loud so that they can know, so he can show them how much he loved them, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the example of prayer. We thank you, Father, that you showed us unconditional love in so many ways, Lord. Help us to see you more deeply, Lord, to see the friendship that you offer, how much you want to console and comfort us each and every day of our lives, Father. We are like lost sheep out here trying to fill up broken cisterns with water that can't hold water, Lord. But you are the only one that can nourish and give us the water that we need, Lord. And that is your word, Father God. We pray that it will not come void, Father God, but that everything that I say right now, Lord, that it will go forth out to the believers' heart and touch them, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that even though the company, the bad and the good company of people, you know, it's inevitable in this darkened world, but we are so thankful that we have you, Lord, that you will always stick closer than a brother or a sister, that you will never leave us or forsake us, and you've given us the power through your holy word to overcome all sin, all the tricks of the enemy, Lord. I thank you and I praise you for your powerful holy word and the examples of Paul and Jonathan and David and all the other words in scripture, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, take it easy. I love you so much if I haven't told you. Mwah.